Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus is a heartbeat. Blood inside of my belly. The life inside of my body. Follow me everywhere I go.
FM. We are so excited and elated to be here in the studio one more time every week. Whatever the Lord gives us to do, we want you to know that we are empowering you. We empower women and men, young and old alike, globally, to know how to walk in your purpose, to find your destiny, to find answers to those questions that you might have as you walk this earth as a kingdom-minded individual. If you're stuck in the middle, if you're trying to get there, that is why we have this show. So I am your host, Minister Roxanne Brown Robinson, and I am so excited because my co-host is joining me tonight for the first time. Her name is Jasmine McGlure. She's a life coach, a wife, a mom. Her and her husband serve in the young adult ministry at her church, but I want to allow her to introduce herself tonight before we bring on our guests. So, Jasmine, welcome.
Yes. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be on the call, on the show. Thank you for welcoming me. Thank you for having me. I'm elated to be with you and just to see what God's going to do. I'm so blessed to have met you as well because you are a powerhouse.
Well, I humbly receive that, my sister, but so are you. And you are a kingdom-minded woman. And you, I know that God has so much in store for you. And tonight, we're bringing on our guest, which I will allow you to introduce her, and then she will introduce herself. But I wanted to share with our listeners tonight, as I was tweeting you and texting you for the message on tonight, it's all about worship. And as I was reading in my devotions tonight, worship is giving God the best that he has given you. That is so awesome. And that was a statement made by Oswald Chambers, who I listen to him almost all the time and have his devotional. And so as we enter into his presence, I just want to say a prayer for those who might be in their car who just might need some type of lifting up on tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to serve your people. We thank you, Lord, that we are the vessels and the tools that you will use to uplift the body of Christ. For every woman, man, and child that might be listening on tonight, Father, we ask you, Lord, that they leave and take away something on this call that will help them in their walk with you, that their worship will be different as they transform from a butterfly into an awesome vessel for the kingdom. And for this, Father, we glorify you and we give you praise. We thank you for KEI. We thank you, Lord, for every show, every woman and man that has a show, a message to transcend into the earth. And for this, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And so before we introduce our guest, I just want to share that it is fitting and confirmation on tonight, Jasmine, that we're talking about worship. Because Sunday was Father's Day. And I lost my father in November, who was a true worshiper and my best friend. And as I entered into the sanctuary at my church, I said, Lord, I just want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Let my worship be contagious to the people that are sitting next to me. And so as we interview this guest tonight, we know that God has deposited and dropped the word into her spirit. So we're thankful that we thanked her and that she will lift up the body tonight. So, Jasmine, please take this time to introduce our guest. Thank you so much.
Yes. Elaine French is a good friend of mine, and she recently came to our church and led us in an amazing time of worship. And you could tell that she's passionate about what she does, and it's not just a performance. She's up there in worship just like the congregation. I think when we think of worship leader, sometimes we think it's just the person that sings the songs and they lead up the songs, but she really exemplifies and models worship when she does it. So she really is true to the sense of the title of the word worship leader. And there were just so many amazing shifts that kept happening in the room. Made me wish I could sing so I could grab a mic and hop up there with her. We don't want any of that happening. We're going to leave that to the professionals. I'm going to stick to my day job. But Elaine is an amazing voice, not just vocally, but even prophetically. She's very anointed prophetically as well. So, Elaine, we just want to welcome you onto the show. Thank you for taking your time out to join us this evening.
Thank you so much, Jasmine and Roxanne, for having me tonight. I'm really, really excited. And humbled to be here with you tonight to share, and just really excited to be here, and really am in agreement with the prayer that Roxanne released in the atmosphere that someone will be blessed and uplifted in our time together.
Amen. I'm in agreement with that as well. So, well, let's get started. I know that you did not start out with a worship background. So can you tell me, you know, a little, I'm not going to reveal your age, but, you know, Beastie Boys, Dougie Fresh, LL Cool J, how did you go from, that background of music to transitioning into worship? What happened there?
Well, Yeah, I appreciate you not telling my age, even though I'm not ashamed of my age.
I know you're not, yeah.
Yeah, so it was really a lot of the life circumstances that I was dealing with as a teenager, family situations, and just kind of really wondering what was going on and, you know, okay, God, are you there? And
mm-hmm.
for me at that point, that music was, as you would say, clean enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about life and a lot of these, you know, Dougie Fresh and all of those folks and just talking about life. And but yet it wasn't meeting the need. It wasn't addressing the deeper need in my heart and in my soul that I was longing for. And I didn't really know that. And then so I stumbled across back then was the Commission group and Winans, you know, a song that I heard years ago. And I never thought of myself as being ordinary. Ordinary just won't do.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a song called by the Winans, Tomorrow. And it really gripped
myself.
Yeah, it really gripped my heart. And I'm thinking,
yeah.
Oh, goodness. And I got deeper and deeper into just listening to more of the Commission, the Winans, and then realizing, oh, this is actually speaking to where I was and the pain and the frustration. And as a teenager, just having a lot of questions and no one really being able to answer it, but God, I believe through these individuals, through their songs and the words that they penned, really addressed and spoke to my heart, like, will you be ready? And I'm thinking, wow, life as it was, there has to be more.
Right.
So it was a gradual thing, and I found myself listening to, as I said, the Commission, the Winans, and all of those folks more than I did the Beastie Boys, you know, their 12 Monkeys.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so you stumbled across the gospel music, I guess we'll just say, when you were a teenager, you said?
Yeah, because the house in our family, we grew up on hymns, the hymns of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my parents didn't have an appetite, I guess you would say, for song, people like the Commission and Winans. They listened to, or we listened to, the local Christian station, which
mm-hmm.
played a lot of the Bill Gaither. And,
okay.
And as a teenager, I was like, yeah, I don't want to hear that.
right, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's encouraging for any teenagers that might be listening or any parents that might be listening, just as far as, you know, music goes, that the impact that it can have, you know, when we have something that's available for our youth to listen
mm-hmm.
to that is clean, that, you know, is, you know, giving hope and it is giving restoration and things
mm-hmm.
like that. So
right.
What would you say is your view on music today? I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit, but what's your view on some of the gospel music today? There's so many different sounds. You know, how do you feel about the different sounds?
Yeah, there is a lot that is out there. You know, there is something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I like to I consider myself an anomaly. In that there's not just one style of
mm-hmm.
Christian or gospel music that I lean towards. Anything that is speaking hope and life, I listen to and I have an appreciation for it. And that said, you know, while there's so many different styles that are out there, what draws me or what keeps my attention and speaks to still me as an adult are the words of hope, the gospel, the good news. So because everyone doesn't like this style, so there's something out there for everyone. But from my stance, is as long as it is sending the message of hope, of the gospel of Christ, I will listen to it. Even bluegrass, I've heard
yeah.
it as, and so I have an appreciation. I'm thinking, okay, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
country.
Yeah.
What we
wow.
call CCM, everything. I've listened to it all, even Christian rock, which is a little bit heavy for me. I'm like, whoa, that's
yeah.
a bit much. But their words, and I definitely have a heavy drawing to the prophetic worship. And I think I mentioned to a friend of mine, Julie True, she has a what we call a healing room. So those are the kinds of things that actually bring life and speak to where we are as believers.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age. So I have appreciation for all styles as
right.
long as it's lifting up the name of God, Jesus Christ, and it's not talking foolishness, because there's
right.
some crazy stuff out there.
Yeah, we got a couple crazies. Yeah, no. And that is something because we're talking about worship, and when we're talking about worship, we're also talking about, you know, just the music and obviously style and things like that. And that can be some of the hypnosis of it is that people won't pay attention to the words.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's just, as long as that beat is bumping, we don't know what you're talking about, but, you know, the lyrics are very important, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me ask you this. What do you think, again, I know that you have just a heavy prophetic anointing on your life. What do you feel in your heart and your spirit takes place in the unseen realm when we worship?
Wow. I'll say it this way. There is a lot that we don't know that goes on behind the scenes, the unseen world, if you will. And I believe there's constant warring that's going on. And I believe through my worship that I'm releasing things into the atmosphere over myself, over
yeah.
my husband, my family, my job, my church, and I believe that I'm also releasing or giving heaven permission to come into the earth
mm-hmm.
through my worship.
Absolutely.
Because I believe very strongly that we are conduits. The same way when people plug in your light contraption into mm-hmm. the socket, it's a conduit. There's a flow of energy or electricity that's coming to make the light come on. It's the same
mm-hmm.
way I believe that when we are worshiping and we're releasing the presence of God, we're allowing the presence of God to come into the earth, that
yeah.
there's things in the atmosphere that we don't see that God is moving on our behalf.
That's really good.
So if I'm constantly just focused on other things, what can I say? Not worshiping,
mm-hmm.
but I'm doing my own thing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering why there's chaos in my home,
because
I'm not really giving time to connect with God and allow him to fight on my behalf, if you will.
Right.
Worship is that powerful. You remember in the scriptures when before they would go out, the armies of God would go out to war, they would call the Levites to come before them and lead the people into worship, to go into worship before they went into battle. That's just how powerful having a worshipful, you know, lifestyle is for each of us, just for our daily living.
I totally
yeah.
agree.
Mm-hmm. Interject with what you just said, Elaine. I wanted to use the example that I spoke of when I first got on the, onto the show
uh-huh.
about how worship, I'm a worshiper, and I really needed to have some serious worship in church on Sunday to try to take my focus off of the pain of my dad's not here, I can't call him, and whenever I go into church, whenever I go into an atmosphere where worship needs to take place, the very first thing that I said to God as you were sharing is that, Lord, go before me, go before the minstrels, whether it's the musicians, the choir, the praise team, the dance ministry, whatever, that you will use them to send the message to the people. And on Sunday, it was probably the second or third time that I had an opportunity to see our youth minister.
Mm-hmm.
Through mine. And I was intentionally listening to the words that they were ministering to. And it wasn't so much the words, but it was the actions in their heart and in their
mm-hmm.
spirit that was saying, use me, Lord, for your glory.
Yeah.
And even with that being said, we as believers are to be the example of those who might be sitting next to us that know nothing about worship, that
right.
in our pew, in our row, that they will catch on like fire, like a match being lit. Wow. Look at her worshiping. Look at her, you know, crying tears. And they're not always tears of sorrow, but tears of joy that enter into our spirit. But we must first learn the art of worship. So I'm grateful on how the Lord used those young people on Sunday. And I made sure that I connected with each and every one of them to say, wow, good job, well done. And as they were ministering, praying for them. So this whole thing about worship, it is needed, and I think we need to do a two-part series on worship because we're not going to be able to get through everything that the Lord wants to reveal to us tonight. That's what I saw in the spirit realm. So
yeah.
I want to continue, but I just wanted to share that how important worship is in our lives and for people to get an understanding of what worship really is.
Yes. I like, Roxanne, how you said that it's life, and I people may look at me sideways when I say this, but it is life to me. It has what I believe with every fiber of my being. It's been one of the things from God that has kept me alive and kept me well, because I didn't grow up on worship. We grew up on what we call family worship with singing hymns.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking, the worship I'm talking about is when we're saying, here I am, Lord. All I am is yours. Everything, my hands, my feet, my eyes, it's yours. Wash me, cleanse me, roll over me, God. Clean me up. Take away the things that are unlike you.
Mm-hmm.
And we lay before God and he begins to minister to us. That's worship because we're saying, I surrender.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to point this out as you were saying that and just exalting. I think about how even the music, the lyrics have changed even in the Christian genre, whereas once we used to be beggars and our revelation was very limited. We used to just come before God and, oh, my light bill's due and, you know, telephone disconnect, you know, wait till your next paycheck. And we used to, you know, and I understand, you know, there wasn't, all songs were not that way, but I feel like the church is now singing the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're now saying, you know, the songs that the power that raised Christ from the dead is alive in me. I don't know if you've heard of that particular song. But now it sounds like we're catching on and we're seeing the revelation of who Christ is in us. And our language has changed. And so
mm-hmm.
we're, you know, the breathing into me and just, like you were saying, you know, open the floodgates of heaven. And man, the language has really shifted according to the revelation of our time.
Yes.
Which is amazing. Expound on that for me, if you will.
Yeah, and you're so right. I chuckled when you say light bill disconnected. And it's true because those are the songs that used to irritate me.
Yes.
Like, oh, wait a minute, they got a good beat. And people would, you know, dance and shout off of that. And then when they're finished, their life still is not,
yeah.
not wanting.
Yep, it's the same.
But, you know, what... worship is bringing God glory. It's things, the songs that point people to Christ.
That's
That your light bill your whatever telephone disconnected does not point people to Christ. It doesn't give them hope. It just brings more destitution. Like, okay, so that's what I think has been the cry of many of the people of God. They need something. Like a good person that literally just popped in my mind was Stephen Hurd. His songs that he pens, that God, the words that God has given him, are songs that bring life. Like, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Right.
So you're so right. That it has changed, and it's going to continue changing because there is a cry in the earth for more of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. We're going to hear more. I think the sounds are just going to continue to change. It's going to continue to change in a good way. definitely in a good way, obviously. We're going to hear more. And you know what else I love is how I feel that our styles are now combining. You know, we're having some Indian sounds, we're having some African sounds, we're having some, you know, we're adopting some instruments from other places as well. Do you have a particular sound as far as like instrument or flow that you crave that just really fits your fancy?
My first and foremost instrument, my first love is the piano. I started playing when I was very young. Took two or three lessons and got cracked on the knuckles and said, oh, I'm not going back, and spent some time doing self-taught teaching, you know, teaching myself. So I started playing by ear.
Okay.
And then learning how to read. So the piano. The second is the guitar. Just the pureness of it, and the drums are right there with the guitar.
Yeah.
And when I say the drums, I mean someone that knows how to play under the anointing. And I'm not plugging, but you know, I'm married to a phenomenal drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because there's the Spirit of God comes through him on those drums. And to me, it's almost like a war that's happening in the spirit, if that makes sense. Those are my top three instruments. But
that's
I love them all. I have an appreciation for instruments, but those are my top three.
Yeah. It's funny that you said war. I'm writing as we're talking and just taking notes on some of the things that you're saying because it really is powerful. But what I wrote down is worship is the weapon of warfare.
Yes.
Yes.
And so when you said drummer and you said war, like I hear, you know, the drumming for warfare or the horns for warfare. And so as you were even talking about before, that there is a constant warring. And I like what you said because we're talking about us being conduits, because I think this really lends itself to the importance of listening and worshiping to the right music.
So
let me ask this. What do you feel happens when we are not listening to words or worship that exalts God?
Okay, so I want to make sure that those that are hearing me know that what I'm about to say is from a place of love, because I've been there and I've made that transition. When we listen to things that are not building us up, building up our faith. You know, the enemy is after our faith. He wants us to curse God. He wants us to say that, oh, this God isn't real, or he doesn't love me. He wants us to doubt. So if we're not building up our faith, there's many ways to build up a faith through the reading of God's word and through worship, because through worship, when you see things happening, it does build up your faith as well.
Yeah.
So when I was listening to those songs from the Beastie Boys, 12 Monkeys, I mean, I was getting it, bouncing and bouncing and bouncing and carrying on in my mom's car, but it wasn't doing anything for me. So when things would come up in my life, I wasn't equipped to deal with them. I wasn't equipped with the peace of God to, you know, just to be still while he works whatever it is out.
Yeah.
Because I was so just fleshed. that's not even a word. I was fleshed out. That is a word I just made up. Fleshed
we're
out.
We're going to coin that term.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was listening to that and LL Cool J and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But as I start to veer more into the other side, which is the true gospel music and understanding that ordinary, for God, ordinary just won't do.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wants a clean heart. And millions didn't make it. But I want to be able to say that I was one of the ones who did. Well, how am I going to make it if I'm not worshiping and if I'm not allowing those songs to come in and do the work in my heart? Even the worship songs today, as the deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. Well, how is my soul panting after God if I'm not even allowing him to minister to me through the songs because I'm so focused throughout the week on, I call him the beggar, Keith Sweat, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't even know who a lot of these artists are now in the secular world.
Yeah, yeah.
Because these songs, they're created to to provoke a response in our spirit and in our flesh, which most times that's why many of us find ourselves in some, you know,
strange
compromising situations.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like what you said. They are created to provoke some sense of emotion.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, they will lead you, like you said, down some compromising roads, and it really does pay to be saturated. I think of worship as a way of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Because what do you do when you sing a song? If you sing it constantly over and over and over again, you're memorizing the words.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so the memorization of that gets into you, you know, and so like you said, but if you come up across a situation in life, now you're reaching on your tool belt, and you
mm-hmm.
can't find what you need to address this issue, because you weren't saturated, you didn't,
right.
you know, put the right things in, so garbage in, garbage out.
Right.
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 So,
and that's an area that I recognize, oh God, when I started to see certain things, I was like, okay, I'm. Can we just be very transparent?
Let's be that.
So, I mean, I said completely. So, I was just reminded. I prayed before I got on this call, and I said, God, whatever you want, I'm okay with. So, he is. Whew, the Holy Spirit is reminding me of some things. So, in my first year of college, I used to listen to Barry White.
Mm-hmm.
And Prince.
All right.
But again, so I was still finding my way out of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
By my second year of college, I don't know what happened, when it happened. I just had this distaste. I think my roommate thought I was crazy because she's like, wait a minute, you listened to them last year. Now you hate them?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stand Barry White's voice.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't stand it because I had developed this distaste
mm-hmm.
for that music that was just talking about what he talked about. And Prince, we all know what Prince, you know.
Yeah.
And so I just went further, just I guess it was headstrong into gospel music, and that's where I got involved with the choir and started directing the choir and was teaching music, and so I went full force into
mm-hmm.
it, because I guess in my mind it was like, it's all or nothing for me.
Right, right. Might as well. I know, and that's the cool thing about, I feel like, that about God is sometimes you can try on your own efforts to try to cut something off. Like,
mm-hmm.
I tried really, really hard. I think I was sharing with you that, you know, I would buy my Lauryn Hill CD and then feel like, oh, I shouldn't be listening to this, and then throw it away. Then buy the same CD again and throw it away. Then download the MP3 and then delete it. And I was constantly at this tug of war because, you know, again, that whole beat thing and, you know, just like certain sounds and certain music. But it did come a point where my hunger for God overtook my desire in my flesh for just listen to that music. It didn't seem worth it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the value of being in the presence of God increased. So,
mm-hmm.
and speaking about that, tell us a little bit about what you feel is the formula, if there is one, to developing a lifestyle of worship.
There is no formula. When I hear the word formula, I hear, you know, what steps, you know, 10 steps, 12 steps, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just say, God, look, I'm here. And I think back early when I first moved to this area, there in my mind, because I had the foundation from my mom is, you know, you come home from work before you eat, you go and you pray and you do this and you worship. And then you have your dinner, you watch TV, whatever, and before you lay down at night, you pray, and you get up in the morning, you do the same thing. That's formula, routine. Mm-hmm. But for me, it got to a point where, look, I need something, you know, and it would be random stuff while I'm getting work ready for work, as I'm driving to work. It would be sometimes Holy Spirit just talking and downloading, and I'm thinking, but God, that's not what I asked you about. I asked you about this.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking to me about something completely different. And then it would be just in the middle of the night getting wakened out of my sleep, and I'm hearing the song in my spirit, and I get up and I'm singing, I'm thinking, and then I just break down because I realize he just answered my question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Through a song. And it's, to me, the formula, if I can use that word, is just being flexible. It's being open.
Right.
It's having a heart towards God and really talking to him like I'm talking to you now. You know, most people think it's crazy. I said, God, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't feel like praying right now because I'm angry. I don't like how this is going. And he's just, you know, the song pops in your head and I start singing it. Your heart gets melted. You get broken down and you're like, all right, Lord, I give up. I yield.
Yeah.
That's for me what, you know, the formula, it was just like God. And every day, it's an everyday thing. It's, and you say, pray without ceasing. In my mind, I'm always, like they say, in all your ways, acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm.
And he will direct your path. It's not just saying, oh, Jesus gave me that. Jesus did that. God did that. No, it's having that heart, the heart for God, that I don't want to do anything that's going to displease him.
Right.
So
right.
Even when I do maybe talk a little rough to somebody and the Holy Spirit says, hey, you know, you're a little rough with that person.
Uh-huh.
A heart of a worshiper will say, okay, I was wrong. They may take a little time to get there, but they'll go back and say, hey, you know, Jazz, I meant what I said,
mm-hmm.
but I was a little rough with you.
Right,
and I'm
right.
sorry. You know, that to me, when you're talking about the formula, if there's such a thing, it's just being pliable. It's being honest when Holy Spirit says, hey, you have some anger right here in your heart. A worshiper will say, God, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to get rid of this because this person keeps pushing my buttons, whatever it is.
Right, right. Yeah. And so I hear you saying that a person who has developed, when we're talking, it sounds like we're talking about a mature worshiper here, because then they would have developed the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to be able to be guided and directed. But what about if, like, I'm starting at point A? Let take me back to, you know, I'm listening to Dougie Fresh, and, you know, how do I go from, you know, making that decision to say, you know what, I want to change, and, you know, but what do I need to do? How does someone enter into his presence regularly if it almost feels kind of like, okay, let me soak in the presence, you know? Is there an attitude adjustment? You know, what does somebody need to do, I guess, in order to
grow? Yeah, and I would say in the very beginning, all I had that I did use was, at the time, was, you know, the Daily Bread when they
mm-hmm.
first started. I would read it, and I'm like, okay, I did that. And I would read the scriptures, and I did that, and then I would say a prayer, and I would ask God to, you know, give me wisdom and keep me through the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would struggle, and then there was a period that I was like, okay, enough, I can't do this.
Because
mm-hmm. it's consuming, it can consume time.
Right.
But I got to the point where I said, you know what, if I try to come up with, and I did do this, I was keeping track of my time, where
mm-hmm.
was my time, free time going, and I saw where I had a lot of free time that I was burning, watching TV,
mm-hmm.
or talking on the phone with friends, and I said, okay, God, I desire to have a closer relationship with you,
right?
And you got to help me, because truth told, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Sitting down and reading the Bible at one point was the worst thing for me because I couldn't understand the King James Version. And then my mom bought me NIV.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. And she said, but I want you to pray and ask God to open up your understanding. And he, at one point he did. It didn't happen overnight, but
right.
I kept at it. And
right.
when he did open my understanding for the King James Version, I went to it, and, okay, great. And then I was like, God, give me a song, because I can't sit up here and sing all these songs in the hymn book, because I never really cared for them
right.
as a teenager. And all I could do at the time was just listen to songs. So that's what I would do. I would go into my room, because I think I shared with you when I had my first job at McDonald's at 17, bought my first system and some headphones, and that
mm-hmm.
was my escape. And all I did was just listen to the Winans Commission and close my eyes and just let those songs minister to me until I got to a point where I was singing to myself. You know, and then it just graduated to, it's a variety of things. It's not just one thing. And that was what I had to shift from. It's not just this one way, because there's many ways to worship God, and there's many ways that he was ministering to me. And I had to kind of, like I said, be flexible. When sometimes he'd wake me up at 3:00 in the morning, and I'm like, I'll go out in my living room even now. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm here, but I got to say, I'm tired. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit would minister to me, and sometimes I find myself just singing and saying the same thing over and over. So there's so many different ways.
Right, right.
But it's just start with what you have. If what you have is your, what's the thing, daily bread, or if it's just reading a scripture a day, and if just telling the Lord, God, I wanted a closer relationship with you, help me get there, he will. And give
right.
yourself grace, because there are going to be days that you're not going to want to do it, and then there are days that you're going to run to it. But then
right.
you'll get yourself, as you say, to a place of, oh, this is something I crave. I got to have this, where you decide, you know, I was going to work today, but I'm going to stay home and lay on my face
mm-hmm.
and just worship.
Yes. Lay prostrate. Roxanne, did you want to add?
Yes. I just want to say that this is just very refreshing and enlightening to our listeners. Even my spirit is being ministered to. And, you know, I truly believe in my heart that God is looking for the true worshipers. He's
mm-hmm.
saying, where are the worshipers? He just doesn't want people who are sitting in the pews Sunday after Sunday waiting for the pastor to come out and act like a crazy person, male or female, and deliver a word. He's not just looking for the fire. He's looking for us. He's looking for sons and daughters. And so we need to learn how to be sober before the Lord. And what it has cost him to deliver us from our sins. And so I often think about the book of Ezra, that wonderful day in Jerusalem when the exiles had returned from captivity and had just completed rebuilding the foundations of the Lord's temple. The people sang for joy, but some of the older priests cried. They were remembering Solomon's temple and its former glory. We ask ourselves the question, do we just worship when we're grieving? Do we worship when we're happy? Or is it just a place in which we can be in the presence of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes when we're at work, we experience a wide range of emotions, including joy when we see God's wonders, and sorrow as we remember our sins and the need for his sacrifice for us. So worship, sorrow, joy, long-suffering, excitement, whatever that might be to us individually, if we establish what our worship looks like
Yes. Instantly
God, that's when God can move in a person's life. And I was just sitting here just so excited of what he was sharing and saying as Jasmine was speaking, asking you the questions. And that's what the Holy Spirit said for me to say to the listeners so they can get it. Because some people simply don't know how to worship. They can only worship when they're happy. But God wants us to worship even when we're sad, that there's tears and that intertwined with our worship.
Yes, Miss Roxanne, can I tell you, I'm going to say this very slowly so I can maintain my composure.
Jesus.
When things come into your life, as I have experienced, as I said in the beginning, worship, a lifestyle of worship, is sometimes all you have to just make it through. Sometimes, you know, it's even Saturday night, there was a song that, or I don't even know what you call it, a groaning that we sang. It says, oh, 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 nobody like the Lord. Sometimes that's, it's just there are no words to even compare. When I don't drink, I don't smoke, I've never done those things, I don't knock, you know, people. I'm just saying when devastation and frustration and disappointment, catastrophe, death, whatever has hit my life, that's what I've had to run to. So, like, again, Steve Hurd said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock, because that is the only place there is safety, mm-hmm. and that I will be nurtured and embraced. I don't know how, you know, people, if anyone understands what I mean, I think people would understand this. When I say there have been times in my life when I've actually almost seen myself in the presence of God, in the lap, in God's lap, and I'm being embraced, and because I need my Father's embrace, my Heavenly Father's embrace. That's how powerful worship is, that it cleanses us from everything that we're dealing with. Not running to drugs or running to sex or running to violence or running to pornography or running to those things, running to worship so that I can pour out my soul before God and sometimes scream to the top of my lungs, crying out to God for help.
Yes.
And he hears and he sends, my God, relief. He sends a refreshing. He sends a washing. He sends healing. He sends encouragement through worship. So you're absolutely right, Lady Roxanne. So many emotions are evoked in worship. Joy.
Yeah. Man, that felt good. That really ministered. That really touched my heart. I was just soaking and absorbing that in. And I really feel like that really encouraged and helped someone just now. I really do. I feel that in my heart. Whoever's been running to the wrong sources or wrong resources,
yes,
the answer isn't in any of those things. That's only going to worsen the problem. It's only going to continue the cycle. It's only going to deepen the hurt. It's only going to solidify what the enemy wants to do in your life. But to run to the presence of God, man, I'm not fooling with y'all tonight. To run to the presence of God, yes, because in him we know that all things will work together for our good. Bless God. Well, I want to get these two questions. We have a few questions from our listeners. And so I would like to for you to answer them for us, Elaine, if you will. I want you to define the difference, if there is any, between worship songs versus congregational songs. Is there a difference between the two of those?
There is. So congregational songs, I would classify them as songs that kind of talks to you and me, you know. Trying to think of a song that, and he'll bring one to mind, where we're testifying to each other,
okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Or we're encouraging each other. I can't think of one right now. Holy Ghost, you'll bring one. And where a worship song, and I did share this a little bit earlier, where a worship song is, all about God.
Yeah.
It is all about him, and it talks of his splendor and his awesomeness and his power and his strength and his might and, you know, how glorious he is. worship is all about God and focusing on his, you know, his awesomeness.
Yeah.
And lauds him for who he is. It's not asking him, Lord, give me this, and Lord, that's not worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, the focus is on him. So a song that comes to mind in terms of worship, you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
Yeah.
Think of it this way. When we're worshiping, God is on his throne. So whatever we're saying, we're talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Directly.
Right.
So when we're singing, you are great, I'm not singing to you.
Right.
No offense. I'm
mm-hmm.
singing to God. I'm saying, God, you are so great.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one else that can compare to you. That's what worship really focuses on. And actually, Roxanne alluded to something. In our many of our churches, worship has kind of gone to more of a, okay, this is the latest and greatest.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's hot and rocking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is what's going to get the offerings up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're tickling people's fancy.
Yeah.
You know, but you talk about lift your hands and worship God and just release your worship in the atmosphere. People get confused and kind of uncomfortable.
Right.
Because,
want me to do what?
Yeah, and it's primarily because, as we know, it doesn't happen at home, which is where if all of us are worshiping at home during the week, when we come together on the weekends, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, there should be an explosion
mm-hmm.
from what we have gleaned on and done at home during the week.
Amen. Absolutely. I'm glad you clarified the difference between worship and congregationals, because I'm going to be honest, I thought that congregationals just meant that everybody knew it, because
mm-hmm.
they always made it sound like, oh, let's sing this congregational. And so I always thought that it was something that was, you know, familiar to everyone. But you make a really great point. Some of the certain songs can be more self-centered than they are Christ-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a drastic difference between, it sounds like that's what you were saying, if I'm correct.
Right.
Some of them are more us-focused. We can kind of celebrate together, but then there are other songs that are just completely, totally about exalting him.
Here's a good one. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in his courts today. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. That's in a hymn book.
That's
a congregational, because we're encouraging each other. Oh, my God, y'all, we made it through the week.
Right. Yeah, touch your neighbor three times and say, yeah.
Exactly.
Got you. All right, well, let's move on to the next question, and then we'll, you know, we'll wrap up. I'll have Roxanne share her heart as well. So the next question is, does lifestyle make a difference in worship? So I think the person that's asking the question, I'm wondering if they're meaning as a worshiper,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're worshiping, can you still live and do what you say, you know, or live as you want? I think that might be the question, or even maybe as the as a worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the perspective as well. Maybe as a worship leader, can you still have a lifestyle of what you want to do? So
I'll say this. There was a time that you couldn't just live any kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much grace that's happening right now in the earth. But let me speak from my personal view. If I were, notice I said, if I were beating my husband
mm-hmm.
at home, which it sounds funny even saying it, because those that know my husband, 6'5", 280, yeah, right. But if I were home beating my husband throughout the week
mm-hmm.
and just abusing him, whether emotionally, verbally, physically,
uh-huh.
And then as a worship leader coming into the house of the Lord and say, you know, come on, saints, lift your hands and worship. There's a contradiction there.
Absolutely.
That's just an example. Or if I'm one that touches more to reality, if I were keeping an illicit lifestyle, tipping out on my husband, if you will, and doing those things and then coming into the house of the Lord and trying to lead God's people into worship, there's conflict there. I'm releasing into the atmosphere a tainted lifestyle.
Right.
And it is important for us to have a lifestyle that is complementary of what it is that we're doing. And what we're doing is leading people into God's presence. And believe you me, when we go into God's presence to lift up hands, holy hands, it should be clean hands.
Amen.
And so it's not me saying, oh, okay, I did that Monday through Friday, and here comes Saturday, so I'm going to go and get on my face and repent and then go do this and then go back to the same lifestyle. That's a back and forth. That's instability. That's hypocritical lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so I want to be consistent. So, yes, lifestyle does make a difference in worship.
Yeah.
Because the purity that comes out of my worship comes from all that goes on during the week.
Right.
It does make a difference. So it's not to say, again, that I go and make things happen and say, well, I want to fix myself and clean myself up. No, maybe I need to step down as a worship leader for a little bit and spend some time in the face of the Father.
Amen. And I want to add just this to that as well. I really feel like when we think about worship, we think that it's music. We think that, I mean, and there that is an element, but worship is a lifestyle. It's not, it is how you live. It's not it's not, okay, I'm going to go listen to worship music and then I'm going to go live. No, your life is the worship song.
May I add, in the workplace.
Yeah. Did you want to add?
People shouldn't be confused when they see me leading worship and they work for me or they work with me. It's like, what is she doing? The only surprise there is because they don't know, because I don't talk about it at work. But it shouldn't be a surprise in the sense like, oh, my God, she's a cusser during the week. And, and what is this? No. It shouldn't be that way.
Right. I totally agree. It's definite. It is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of worship. So, Roxanne, did you have something that you wanted to add?
Yes. As we're coming close to the hour and being mindful of what God is doing, we don't want to interrupt the flow of the Holy Spirit. But all I kept hearing in my spirit was, Lord, I will give you all my worship.
Yes.
All my praise.
Yes.
Alone are the one that sustains me, that keeps me. And so as Elaine was speaking about the workplace and everywhere we, not all of us will have a true worship spirit. Not all of us will have a song in our heart, but there are other ways that we worship God, by sharing the gospel, by kind deed. And guess what? By doing things behind the scenes that nobody sees. Giving a dollar to that person that is hungry. Ministering to that young woman that's about to think about taking her life. Worship. And I want everyone who listens to this broadcast tonight to listen to it over and over again and look up the word worship. Google it. Look up in the Bible. See how many times the word worship has been used, because when we are a true worshiper of Christ, we repent daily. Because each and every day, we're going to say something or do something that is against the will of God. And we have to be obedient to what he is telling his sons and daughters to do. We want to encourage those who don't know about forgiveness, to encourage ones that are struggling with addictions and all these other things that taint their mind, that they don't even know how to open up their mouth to worship God. And if we just say, Lord, I desire to love you more and more every day, that if we remove our agenda and ourselves out of the way, that's when God will teach us how to worship him. And all we have to do is tell him, Lord, I desire to know how to worship you. Show me, teach me what I don't know. And even if my voice doesn't sound melodious like Elaine's or some of the powerful, you know, minstrels out there today, God loves our worship.
And
what it looks like and what it sounds like, as long as we are worshiping him. And we can't be afraid to tell the truth to those who we love, our family, our friends, our coworkers, whoever God puts in our lives to share his word. He wants us to do it in truth.
Amen.
Absolutely.
I am just so blessed and elated by the Lord using you tonight, Elaine. I'm so proud of my co-host, Jasmine. It's almost like being a host just fits like a glove. And I use her on tonight. So, Elaine, I'm just going to put this out in the atmosphere as we close out, that we are embarking on a Kingdom Girls Empowerment Tour in 2017. And I would love for you to be a part of that tour as a minstrel, whether it's in Maryland, whether it's here in Atlanta when we do the launch. You just let the Lord speak to your spirit. But more importantly, for everyone that is listening on tonight, when we download the broadcast, which will be momentarily, please share it with friends who don't know how to worship. Thank you, Jack, for allowing God to use you on tonight. And I know there is so much more that he has in store for you here on the Kingdom Girls show, and not only on the show, but in your own life and in the ministry that God has placed inside of you. Let the Lord continue to use you for his glory. And I just want to thank everyone that listened on tonight to learn how to be a worshiper. Go ahead, Elaine.
I just wanted to thank you and Jasmine. This was so, it's such a release, because, you know, we have so much in us, and sometimes we don't release it, and this was such a release. It was such an awesome experience, and I heard what you put out there, and my soul says yes.
Yes, God.
Yes. So we're going to let Jasmine close us out.
God.
We have empowered her for God to use her voice. It's all about you, Lord, and we thank you. Let us have a part two to this.
Yes,
segment.
Ma'am.
We'll talk about your schedule later on down the road, but we want to bring it back because there's more. There's more than God feels through you. Amen. Jasmine?
Amen.
Yes. Glory to God. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for your presence, God. That was just, I feel like we talked you up, God. We just thank you for your goodness, your grace, Lord God. And I just pray for the listeners tonight, Lord God. The questions that did not get asked tonight, Father, I pray that you would answer them, Lord. The areas of struggle in the hearts and the minds of the listeners, Lord God, I pray that you would meet them right where they are, Father. And I just hear this word in my heart. I hear unashamed. So, Father, I just pray that we would go forward unashamed of the gospel, unashamed to live out our worship, unashamed to live out our closet time in front of people, Lord God, unashamed to raise our hands, Lord God, or to let those tears fall or to drop when we come together in corporate worship, God. I pray that we would just be unashamed, Lord God, of you, because you certainly were not ashamed of us. Father, we just bless you and we thank you, Lord God, for the women on this call tonight. Thank you for Elaine and for Roxanne, Lord God, for the coordinators, Lord God, and just for the airwaves. I pray that this would just echo, Father, and that it would just overtake any demonic force that's out there, Lord God, that is just trying to eat and take people's victory, Lord God. I just pray that this would echo and just overtake and overwhelm, Father God, any of the issues that are outstanding out in the atmosphere, Lord God. And we call those things that are out of alignment into alignment right now, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, and we bless you for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you will do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jasmine, and thank you, Elaine. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week with a powerful message as well. We just want to say you are empowered.
Amen.
Out of worship, the Lord, your life will change and transform into something simply amazing. Learn to give God all of you. And when you give all of you, he will give all of him in return. Mm. Desires our hearts. So thank you, everyone. We want to say good night. I am your host, Minister Roxanne Brown Robinson, and my co-host, Jasmine McGlure, on the Kenyon Girl Show here on KEI Radio. Don't forget to like us at KEIFM.com. Share this broadcast with those who need it most. Good night, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Be blessed.